Judith and I are grateful that we had an opportunity last week to spend a week at the beach. There is nowhere on earth that I would rather be than at the beach. I'm grateful to Rich for preaching while I was away, and our staff handled everything. I didn't have to do a thing while I was away except rest and relax. And there's nowhere I would rather be than at the beach. Now, everybody has their favorite place, and I know some of you would rather go north up into the mountains, and I understand and bless you if that's what you do. Or some of you would rather travel and do other things and just kind of sightsee and bless you if that's what you do. But those of us who really understand that being at the beach is the most important place to be. There's nowhere in the world that I relax more or feel closer to the Lord than when I'm down at the beach, listening to the surf and spending some time relaxing. But if you've ever been to the beach, you also know that every time you go, there is that moment of total, absolute helplessness that comes about the middle of your day. And this is what I'm talking about. You go down to the beach and you spend the morning. You get there as early as you can. You get everything together. You move down there. You spend the whole morning down either on the beach or in the ocean, just having a great time. And then finally, there comes that time about the middle of the day when it's time to go to lunch. And you gather up what you have to, and you go back to the house, and you walk through the door, and you are immediately helpless. Because for that first 30 or 40 seconds when you come in out of the sun, you can't see a thing. You are absolutely helpless. And until your eyes adjust to being back in the dark, there's nothing you can do except stand there and wait, because you know if I do anything here, it's going to be the wrong thing. I'm going to trip over something. I'm going to kick something. I'm going to do something wrong because I can't see a thing. It is an incredible realization of the difference between the darkness and the light. And because that is true, we find in John 8 that Jesus says the same thing about himself. As he's describing himself through these I am statements, one of the things he says is, I am the light of the world. Jesus, and only Jesus, brought God's pure light into the world. Jesus, and only Jesus, is the one who can show us the way. Without Jesus, we walk and stumble in the darkness. His light shines on everything we are and everything we do. And if you think about the power of light in the natural world, then you get just a glimpse of the difference between the darkness and the light in the spiritual world in which we live out our days. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So what exactly does that mean? Well, there are things that the light does that transform your life. For instance, the light illuminates. You know, there are two questions that are at the heart of every person's existence. Two questions, and until you settle those questions, you're never going to know who you are or what you stand for. The first question is this: is God there? Is God there? Is there something beyond this little planet that we whirl around on? Is there something that happens when I live out my years and then I pass away and I move on? Is there a God out there that has things under control? Is there a God out there that is the one I can trust no matter what? Is God there? And then the second question, just as critical, and does God care? Do we even matter to the one who made us? Or is he, as some have said, the great watchmaker who creates a planet, puts it into motion, and then turns his attention to other things, never to look back again? Does God care? Does God care for us? But maybe the real truth is we want to know, does God care for me? Is my life important in his sight? Does he know my name? does he care about me? When Jesus came to be the light of the world, he answered both of those questions with an emphatic yes. Yes, God is there. Yes, God cares. Yes, God has sent his light into the world. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah described what it was going to be like when the Savior came. And this is what he said. He said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." In other words, when the Messiah comes, here comes the light. Here comes the light, and it shines on people who are walking around in darkness, stumbling and falling, stumbling, stubbing their toes, and not sure where to turn next. Yes, it falls on people who are living in the shadow of the death, realizing no matter who I am, no matter what I do, no matter what I have, no matter what I accomplish, sooner or later I'm going to die, and when I die, nothing matters. Unless somebody does something. And somebody did. And his name was Jesus. And he came to fulfill that promise that a light was going to shine in the darkness. Never forget this. To be apart from Jesus is to choose to live in the darkness. There are only two places that you can be. When the light illuminates, it reminds you of something. There are only two places. There's darkness and there's light. There's not darkness and kind of darkness and sort of darkness and maybe a little light, maybe a little more light and light. There's darkness and there's light. They are the only two things in all of the universe. And every one of us has to decide, where am I going to live out my life? Am I going to live in the darkness or in the light? God is there. God does care. But unless you see him in Jesus, you are going to continually be blind. Blind to truth, blind to hope, blind to grace, blind to love, blind to all of those things that God wants to be part of your life and existence. But without Jesus, you can't see any of it. It's missing. It's no accident that Jesus is often described in the Gospels as bringing sight to the blind. It was one of his most common miracles. It's almost as though Jesus had to do something about it whenever he encountered it. I love what one person wrote about Jesus one time. They said, if you don't want Jesus to change everything, never invite him to a funeral, because he broke up every funeral he ever attended while he was in the Gospels. And the same thing is true of those people who are blind. It's almost as though if Jesus ever encountered a person without sight, he could not just turn and walk the other way. He had to do something about the fact that here were people dwelling in darkness and they needed to be living in the light. That's what he does. But the greatest miracle was always the fact that Jesus would tie restoring sight to restoring faith, to giving hope, to bringing people to God, to transforming lives. And he would say to people, God has done this. Now go your way. Sin no more. It's the kind of miracle that happens every time a lost person gives their life to Jesus. We all understand why John Newton wrote those words, "I once was blind, but now I see. This is who I was before I knew him, and this is who I am now because he's real in my life." You know, across this room today, there are dozens and dozens of testimonies about how people have come to know Christ the Savior. And your testimony is just as individual as you are. Every one of us have different experiences. Every one of us have gone through different things that have brought us to Christ. Some of us as children, some of us as teenagers, some of us as adults. Some of us have conversions that were very dramatic. Some it was very low-key, but it was very, very real. But one thing is true of all of us, whatever your testimony may be, you are the one who says, "I once was blind, but now I see." I used to live in the darkness, but Jesus has put me into the light. The light illuminates. And the Bible also says this, and it says, and the light directs. If you've ever been at home alone at night when the power fails, you know how dark the darkness really can be. I understand we had a power failure right around here during the week I was away. You know, when the power fails, the darkness is really, really dark. There are no lights on the inside of the house to help you find your way around. There are no lights on the outside of the house because the street lights are gone as well. It's just dark. And if you've ever been in that kind of darkness, you also understand the comfort that comes when you're able to lay your hands on a flashlight or light a candle. And while you can't restore all of the light, you can find your way around. There's a light that shines the way to show you where you're going. We need to remember that because we live in a world that is saturated with darkness. If you're not sure that's true, then turn the news on your radio on your way home, and by the time you get to the house, you'll be ready to turn it off again. We live in a world in which darkness seems to be in every corner in which you look, and we need someone to show us the light. We need a way to get away from the darkness of sin, from the darkness of fear, from the darkness of despair, from the darkness of failure, all of the darkness that is around us. Because when you're under the influence of darkness, sometimes you feel almost overwhelmed. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get things right again. I'm just lost in the darkness and I can't find my way. You need new direction. You need somebody you can trust. You need Jesus. Jesus is the one who directs your way. That's why in Psalm 27:1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" If I can see, I don't have to be afraid. Isn't it funny how when you find yourself lost in the darkness and with no idea where the light's going to come from next, and you're there and you're alone and it's dark and something goes, isn't it amazing what happens to your imagination? You're sitting in the darkness, alone and afraid. Something just went, and you are convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that an axe murderer just walked into your house. But the light comes on, you have the flashlight, something goes, and you point the light and you say, "I've been meaning to fix that cabinet for 6 months." The light makes all of the difference. You can live with a bold confidence because He will show the way. But the way is Jesus, and He directs us on our way. And then the Bible tells us that the light reveals. It shows you the things you need to see. This year's vacation was very different for Judith and I than any that we've had for the last 30 years, because this is the first vacation since the early years of our marriage when it was just the two of us. Every other year we've had at least one of our kids, usually both of them, had in-laws, and we've usually had to kind of move around as a pack. You know what I mean? But this year we just kind of did what we wanted to do. And one of the things we found out that we wanted to do this year was go to bed early. And that was kind of nice. But we also had a lot of conversations about the things we've done with our children over the years. And one of the things that we talked about was all of those years when our kids were little. And part of going to the beach was every evening going out to hunt sand crabs. You know what I mean? You get your flashlight and you get your bucket and you get your net and you go down to the beach and you put a little sand in your bucket and you take that light and you begin to shine it, and all these little sand crabs are just skittering everywhere. And the kids loved chasing them down, and they'd trap them with their net, and they'd put them in the bucket. And we'd do that for 30 or 40 minutes. And then later on, we would empty the bucket and tell the kids, we'll catch those crabs again tomorrow night. They loved it. Chasing crabs was part of our deal. But here's the thing. Chasing crabs would not have been possible if we went to the beach and we had our bucket and we had our net and we had all the capacity to catch it, but we didn't have the flashlight. Because then you can't see what you're trying to find. And the Bible says the same thing is true about Jesus, the light of the world. He shows us what we need to see. He reveals the love of God in the cross of Christ. What's God's love like? There it is. It's revealed. It's Jesus. We see His grace and His mercy powerfully revealed in His sacrifice. We see His love and compassion and the things that the Bible says Jesus did day after day after day. We see His hope and His grace every time we hear the promises that Jesus made to us. We recognize He's showing us the things we need to see the most. It is revealing God at His best. But you know what else the light does? The light also reveals us just the way we are. The light reveals you good and bad. The light reveals you strong and weak. The light reveals everything about you. And when you find yourself in the presence of Jesus, the light of the world, all of a sudden, all of those things that you thought you could fool people about, they don't work anymore. All of those things you thought you could hide, they're exposed for what they are. More than that, it reminds us that we're all responsible for the way we live our lives. The Bible says the day will come when the light will hold us accountable for how we've lived. Listen to what the Bible says. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. The Bible says the day is going to come when every one of us are going to account for the way we've lived our lives. It's going to be brought to light. The good stuff and the bad stuff. The ways that we sinned intentionally, the times we excused ourselves, the ways we compromised ourselves, it's all going to come to light. So here's my question. So why on earth would you wait until that day to make things right? Why on earth would you wait for that day to ask the Lord to help you see yourself clearly? God, help me to see what I need to confess. God, show me what I need to repent about. Lord, help me to recognize the compromises I'm making in my life. Because if I can do it today, then I can return to the Lord. I can renew my relationship. I can set aside those things that are going to be exposed. Most of all, I think, what the Bible is saying is, and today is the day to ask the Lord to help you set aside those things that seem so important right now, but in the light of eternity are only going to be wood and hay and straw. And ask Him to help you invest your life in the things that are gold and silver and precious stones. What am I saying? I'm saying, God, help us to have your priorities. because we can make so many choices and so many decisions that lead us away, not just to bad things, but to worthless things. And we need to know, I am investing my life in the things that matter. Lord, help me to see. And then one last thing, very quickly. And the light compels. Jesus said it clearly. He always does. I am the light of the world. And if He is the light of the world, then everything else leads to darkness. Every one of us has to make a critical decision. Do I want to live my life in the light, or do I want to live my life in the darkness? Some people find themselves attracted to the light. Yes, that's where I want to go. Yes, that's what I want to do. Yes, that's who I want to serve. Some people find themselves repelled by the light, because turning to Jesus means I've got to see the other stuff for what it is. I've got to turn away from those ways. And the darkness holds their lives in a grip, and the darkness is holding on tight until you choose to trust the light. And everyone's decision affects their eternal destiny. Jesus described the stakes clearly. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. And Jesus, the light of the world, is an eternal light. It never flickers. It never dims. It never goes out. It is God's eternal promise for people who trust Him. So I guess my question to you this morning is simply this. Have you come to the light? Have you trusted Jesus, the light of the world? Has there been that time in your life when you have said, I choose light and not darkness? If there hasn't, then today may be the day when you need to give your life to Christ. It may be just as simple as to say, I am lost and I need to be found. I'm apart from the Lord and I need to be saved. And if so, in just a minute as we sing our invitation hymn, I'm just going to invite you, Will, to slip your hand up. And after the service, I want to see you and talk with you about giving your life to Jesus. Maybe following Jesus, the light of the world, means you need to be part of what He's doing in this fellowship, because He's calling you to do that. And you just need to say, today's the day I want to become part of this church. Maybe God's doing something special in your life, calling you to the light. And you know, here's the wood, hay, and stubble. I'm done with that. Here's the silver and gold. I choose His way. If there's a decision you need to make, you slip up your hand and we'll talk when the service is done. Let's stand together. Let's sing our closing hymn. From your hand, fall. It's been a good day in God's house. It's a great life when you live in the light of the one who is the light of the world. Now, Joe, I have one last question. Now, can you spare Nathan for this last song? Because I'm going to invite Nathan and Rich and Lindsay, if you all would go ahead and make your way out front so you can walk by and just speak a special word to them as you leave today. So y'all just go ahead and go out here, and I'll close things out here. It's been a good day. Let's join together in prayer, and then we'll sing our last song together. Father, we do thank you that you're the light of the world. Father, that you show us the things we need to see, that you reveal the things we need to deal with, that you're constantly directing us, guiding us, and letting us know God is there. God really cares. He sent the light of the world, in whose name we pray. Amen. But remember this, you can't hug them. So let's begin at the back and just kind of make your way out. And if you would, just speak a special word to these folks who mean so much to us.